our Bibles to Acts 2, verses 37 through 47. That's where we're looking at again today. We're moving through this for the month of August, looking at God's Word here in the narrative of Luke as he writes Acts 2, 37 through 47. Go ahead and turn your Bibles there. And as we're finding our place, the topic for the month of August is our common life of us. The common life of the church, the common life of our families. The Sunday school, it's more focused on our families. During the message, it's on the church. So what we're talking about for the month of August is the common life of the community of believers. And it's in your outline, that kind of said. And like I said last week, it's a big theme in the New Testament. Tremendously big theme. It's the common life that we have in Christ, that we share in Christ as believers in Christ. It's all over the place. Big theme, and here in our text, what Luke is describing for us is what took place at the beginning of the church. That's what he's describing. Here it is. Peter preached the gospel, and here's what happened. He's describing a story, describing the story. It's not a make-up story. It's a narrative, so it's the truth of what happened. But you can see it this way. This happened, and this happened, and then this is what they did, this is what they did, and this is how they lived, this is how they lived. It's a narrative. It's important for us to recognize that. It's Luke's description. In this description, we see things that were just part of the common life of the church. As common as some of the things, the most simple things that are in your life that are common. Let me give you an example of that. Some of the simplest things. Most of us washed our face this morning, right, and fixed our hair. Most of us brushed our teeth. Brushed our teeth. Most of us got dressed for the day. Thank you for doing that. And most of us had some sort of breakfast, right? Very common. Who brushed your teeth this morning? Who combed their hair, right? We got dressed, right? We did that some form or manner. Very common for us as just humanity, right? That's what this is bringing out in the narrative here and what God is talking about. I say it that way as an example just to help us see that in God's Word here, the text represents that all of this that we're learning was just very common. It was somewhat totally common in the life of the church. Just like if I ask you who brushed your teeth today, most of you are going to raise your hand. Some won't raise their hand because they don't want to raise their hand at church. I get that. That's okay. Some of you didn't brush your teeth and you're worried about it. But most of us did. Amen? Right? We did. It's very common for us that, you know, we're trying to teach our kids that and that kind of thing. But that's what I want you to grab hold of. This is very common in the common life of the community. It's just what how life was going on. And that's why the way it's written in the text by the use of the verbs and the narrative. So let's read the text. Acts 2, 37 through 47, and then work our way through the text. I won't read it all at once, but we're going to work our way through it. And I want you to listen for that focus. I want you to listen for what was the common life for the church as we read through this and look at it. So here we are, verse 37 and following. Luke writes this. Now, when they had heard this, now let me just tell you what they heard. They heard the truth of Christ and the truth of their sin. Part of the gospel. But when they had heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." This is what was said. This is what was going on. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved or rescued from this perverse generation." Verse 41 says, "So then those who received the word, received his word, what Peter was preaching, were baptized, and on that day, there was added about 3,000 souls." So when you first look at that, it's pretty simple in what it says, and we talked about it a lot last week. We heard it. We notice salvation is common. In fact, that's where it starts, right? That's where we become the part of the body of Christ, become part of the church family. That's how we become Christians and how we become united in all that we're doing is through Jesus Christ, through salvation. We heard that. It's a common starting point. It is the only starting point. The life of that we share starts at salvation. Just like, you know, when a baby is born into a family, I have one sitting by me while we're going through worship this morning. It's always a fun thing to have the baby sit by you, isn't it? It is a really neat thing, and they're all goo-gooing and gaga-ing and all that kind of stuff. And then even some of the family members that were up here were all smiling. But when a baby is born into a family, that's when they become part of the family. They're born into this sharing in the common life of the family. When you trusted the Christ, when you believed on him, when you put your faith in his saving work, you were born again. Just like that. And God says he placed you in the family of God. And that's when you and me began to share in the common life of salvation together. We detailed that last week. And the second point we looked at, if you look back at the passage with me, it's let's look at verse 43 through 47. Yeah, I know we're skipping 42, but we'll come back to it. But I want you to listen to the relational oneness that was common life of them. So we got the common life of salvation and the common life of relational oneness. This just telling them how they were one in relational aspects. Listen to what it says. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, they were continuing with one mind in the temple, and they were breaking bread from house to house, and they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So when you listen to that, you hear in that, you listen to that relational aspect, that relational oneness that was going on. We heard it. It's described to connect to the togetherness. It's kind of interesting and overwhelming in the same way. How they were one, and they were relational one. They had all things in common, it says. They were sharing, they were meeting needs, practicing hospitality. They had gladness when they got together. They had sincerity of heart, one-minded in worship. They were praising God together. In Acts 4, it says they were all seeking to glorify God together, and it says they were also of one heart and one soul. Relational oneness was common. That's what we have here, because relational oneness isn't what we make up. It's given to us by God. Through the Word of God, we understand that when we come to faith in Christ and we've trusted Christ, God puts us in the body of Christ. The common life of it is that we're saved and we believe in the Lord and we got salvation's life. And in salvation's life, what God has done is he's made us one. Our responsibility, Ephesians 4 says, is to diligently preserve the oneness that God has given us. We really don't design it or make it happen. It's what we do, embrace that it's there and then protect it to keep it what it is. And so that's what is happening here, and what we're understanding is that there's this relational oneness that's common. And like I said, we have it here. It's common here because God has given it to us. Because we're believers and have trusted in the Lord, and we have this common life of salvation's life, and we have the common life of relational oneness. Now, we work on it because we're people, but it's what we have. So the common life includes salvation's life and the oneness God has given us. Now let's focus in on verse 42. And that's really what we've been doing as we've been going along through August. First last week, we focused in on one thing. We'll focus up on today. Where Luke writes this verse 42, amazing verse, really, to really talk to them, you know, to inform us through God's word on just how common what was going on in the life of all of these believers right from the start. So let's read verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to the prayer. Pretty simple and concise, isn't it? They were. They being believers in Christ that have salvation's life, that were given the oneness that we have in Christ. They were doing this. It's them. This is an ordinary church with these things happening that are in common. That's what it is. Not a special church. The only thing you would say that it wasn't ordinary about them, they were the first one. But this is what it is. This ordinary church was continually devoting themselves to these four things. So we looked at what is continually devoting themselves to. We looked at that a lot last week, but I have it in your outline there. Turn your outline over. You can write a few things down. It simply means they constantly were attentive to, they were continually dedicated to, they were faithfully giving themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. It was a common life. It's the common life of us. We might struggle with it. We might get altered from it. We might get railroaded from it. We might ignore it at times, but it's the common life of the church. God decided that. I didn't. You didn't. The elders at Living Word Fellowship didn't. No, God decided that. He's writing a narrative. God informing us at the beginning of the church, this is what God was working in their life to be committed to. to be devoted to. It's not extraordinary. It's not so something happens. It's not. It's just the life of the church. And it's so important for us in the sense to just recognize this is just what God is saying is our common life. Our doctrine at Living Word Fellowship doesn't make this the common life. You know, our doctrinal statement. This is what God says is the common life of us. In our families, we're looking at Sunday school, at church. This is it. We're committed to the apostles' teaching. We're committed to fellowship. We're committed to breaking of bread, and we're committed to prayer. Whether we struggle with it or not doesn't mean it's not our common life. You get that? And so that's what God is speaking to us about. He's talking to us about, teaching us here, just tearing us a narrative. This is the common life of the church, guys. It's not everything, but it's a big part. And last week, we focused on breaking of bread. Remember last week, our conclusion was their common life was to be constantly giving themselves to a Christ-centered life. See, remember, communion is about remembering Christ. And it wasn't about they were devoted to doing the ordinance or doing the ritual or we're going to do communion every time we see each other or whatever. It's what communion was about is what they were committed to. Yes, they broke the bread from house to house because they wanted to remember Christ from house to house. That they wanted to remember all that he did in their salvation and that they had new covenant life through Jesus Christ with God. And we're servants of that new covenant. And we examine our heart and life every day to see what God is doing in our life and what he might want to change. And that we're together in all of this, that we walk in the newness of life with each other. And that's what we looked at last week. And you know what? That's the common life of the church. Now think about it in your life. Think about it in your marriage. When you guys are committed to remembering what the Lord has done in your life, just think about you husband and wives and remembering that God has given you this new relationship with God through Jesus Christ called New Covenant Relationship. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:6 and following. And that God has placed us together. He's given us a oneness, a communion with each other. Those are the principles of what communion is about. And when you think of that, when your week goes that way, let me ask you, your life a little different, your relationship? Absolutely. See, because God knows the plan. He knows the way. He knows how it works. We're just working toward living what God is teaching. And see, I'm committed to that. You know, that's what we're wanting to get to as we go through these messages, is that we're recognizing my part here is my heart willing? The rest of it, God is at work at. That's what it is. Am I in? Sometimes I'm in. No, I'm out. And we're all the same. We're all working on our heart right here. We're all working in our life on what we're being devoted to. And it's all a work of God. And so when Luke is writing this, if we would follow through and go through Acts 3, and 4, you see the progression of this. What God is doing is revealing to people and what happens in their life in the narrative when they embrace what God has for them. It becomes common in their life. So that's what we looked at last week. They were devoted to that. They were committed to continually living a Christ-centered life. Today we'll look at the second one, and it's not that long. As I worked on it, it was like, okay, so they were committed to teaching here. Boy, at first it was, I might have to do 4 points and 3 messages on this one. But then the Lord worked on my heart and just to bring that down to our understanding what it really looks like to be committed here to the apostles' teaching. That's what we're looking at next. Look at it with me. In verse 42, he said that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's what we're going to look at today. The Lord really worked in my heart to just really bring that into some conciseness to understand what that is and to what we're committed to. So when I say that, the apostles' teaching that they were continually devoted themselves to, what do you think about? What's that to you? What do you know that to be? Anybody want to share something? What do you know that to be? You all know it to be something, though, don't you? But we're struggling to say it because we don't want to be wrong. But we all know it to be what it is. What it is, it's simply this. It's a reference to the fact, when it says apostles' teaching, that the apostles were the bearers of divine revelation. They had it, right? None of the New Testament's written. And so the church starts, and they said, all right, we got to be committed, devoted, attentive to, faithful to the teaching here of these apostles and what they're going to teach us. It's a reference to the fact that they were the ones, the bearers of divine revelation, which along the way would be get to be written down to be the New Testament. Guess what? This is the bearer of divine revelation. I'm just a servant of the Lord, and I'm just doing the best I can as God would lead and guide me to explain from the text what it means, what God has said, and for us to understand it. So God has written down divine revelation for us all to understand. There's no more people that come and bear divine revelation that's apart from this. But at that time, this wasn't written down, so they just were dedicated to it. And it was the teaching of the apostles, and it was the substance of the study of the early church. And it's very, very important. It's tremendously important. It is. It's tremendously important. So what was the common life of the ordinary church? Was their complete involvement in the study of biblical truth. And that's what God is sharing with us in this, and what he's talking about. That's what the narrative is saying, is the church was devoted to teaching, to learning and living the truth of God's word continually. That's what it's saying here. It's the common life that we are, what they were doing day by day. It's the common life. And again, it's just encouraging us. It's like what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and through 20. Jesus said this, here's his words to the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's what the church is committed to. We're committed to sharing Christ, sharing the gospel, sharing the truth of Christ, people coming to faith in Christ, coming to become part of the oneness of the body of Christ. And what we do is we teach all that God has said, all that Jesus has commanded, which is now written down in the New Testament. And we do that forever. Nobody attains the whole understanding or learning. It continually goes on. That makes sense, you guys? Absolutely, doesn't it? Makes sense. That's what it is. This is what's been going on. This is the common life of the church. You share Christ, people come to faith in Christ, and then for the rest of our lives, we're all teaching and learning and living the Word of God and growing in all of that. That's what he says they were committed to, they were dedicated to, that they were faithful to. They were continually committing themselves to teaching of God's Word, the truth. So the first, the common life of us is teaching God's word. Let's look at this a little bit. It's teaching God's word. That's the common life of us. That's what we do here, right? Tom, you were talking about it earlier in as we opened up the service today. We're committed to teaching the truth of God's word, or God's word truth. That's what we're committed here to. We're devoted to. We're faithful to. It's like what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. He said, "I charge you in the presence of God and Christ," he said, "preach the word." Preach the word. Preaching is teaching what God has said and what it means and applying it to our minds. Preach. He said, do it always, never stop. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. It's what we're to be doing. It's what I'm to be doing. But I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4. Let's look at this a little bit. So it's committed to teaching God's word. That's what we're going to be faithful to. And we'll see the progression here. We understand that it's more than just teaching. But we got to be committed, devoted, continually to teaching the truth. That's why they were committed, devoted themselves to hearing the truth from them. Turn to Acts 4, or not Acts 4, 1 Timothy 4. Boy, I'll get you really confused, have you jumping all over the place, huh? But 1 Timothy 4, I want to walk through a passage here, just read a little bit. But listen to Paul write to Timothy, to a pastor trying to shepherd the church and going to be taking up the mantle of what Paul did after Paul's gone. Here he's writing to Timothy, and listen to what he says. And I want you to take it into consideration that what we're learning here. Our common life is to teach God's word, to teach the truth. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 begin with. And then Paul writes, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the power by the means of the word of God and prayer." Did you hear what he said? Listen, there's untruths, there's errors, there's false teaching that seek to railroad us. He's telling Timothy, he's telling him, you got to pay attention. You know, there's things out there taught, there's things that are out there that are seeking to guide and lead people away, to railroad their life and that kind of thing. It's important that we teach the truth. It's because this, we know the truth, and then it says it's by the word of God. It's been sanctified by the truth of God's word. We're to teach only the word of God, and it's true, so we don't get led astray. Look at verse 6. He says next, he says, in pointing these things out to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Did you hear what he said? This is life, common in our life. Listen, our common nourishment are God's truth about faith and sound doctrine about life. That's our constant nourishment. It's healthy doctrine. It's truth taught. For our spiritual body, truth is the nourishment to it. Error doesn't help any of us in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And he's telling them, that's what he's saying, point out these things to them. Listen, follow along with what he's teaching, Timothy, that teaching is so important. Look what he says next in 7 through 11. He says this, in pointing the, or 7 through 11, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, only fit for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only a little profitable, but godliness of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, also for the life to come. Verse 9, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Look at verse 11, prescribe and teach these things. Listen, we're to prescribe and teach these things in the church. Pastor's supposed to prescribe and teach these things from the pulpit. We're supposed to, that's what God wants us to be doing. That's what it's about. We're to be teaching these things, these truths, verses 1 through 10. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. And Paul tells Timothy, pay close attention to yourselves and to your teaching. Preserve in these things, for as you do, these things will ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those that hear you. Did you hear what he said? Telling them, you got to pay attention to your walk with the Lord and your teaching. It's got to be on God's truth. It's going to ensure salvation's life. That's what he's talking about. Ensure that that we're walking the true life God has given us in our salvation by the truth that's being taught. It's so important. Teaching is so important. It's common life for us that we're be teaching the truth of God's word. 1 Peter 2 says it this way, long for the pure milk of God's word so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. That's the goal of ours. Look at the front of your bulletin. You see the front of your bulletin? It says this, we're to teach the word of God, and this is our response. We're like newborn babes, we're to long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow into respect to salvation. You see that on there? When I looked at that, when I was putting that on there, the first thing I thought of is when I was a little boy, we used to get Lucky Charms. You guys are probably, oh man, your mom's in trouble. Not the greatest thing for you. But you remember that marshmallow that would stick on the bottom of the bowl? Yeah. You know, and then you had to try to get that last marshmallow, that kind of thing? See, the thing is we teach the word of God, teach the truth. What God says is that the believers and Christians, the ones that are following, or there's a longing going on for life for them to know what the truth is. Now, I don't know what your food is. I don't know what you long for, but just put it right on in there. The thing where you're just going to eat the last bit of bottom morsel. And see, that's what they are devoted to. They are devoted to teaching it, but they are devoted to wanting it too, okay? I just want you to see that, okay? That's why that's on there, because they long for they wanted to grow in respect to salvation. That's our common life. And so we're committed to teaching the truth because we know the truth is the only thing that grows us. Error doesn't grow anybody. And you know, and good things and philosophy of man and man's wisdom doesn't really do any of that. So we're committed to the truth, and that's what he's saying, but they're committed to wanting and learning the truth. Maybe that's a better way to put that. They constantly devoted themselves to that, the teaching of God's word, and so are we here. We are, but not only that, they were committed to teaching truth continually, but learning. We just don't teach truth, we seek it together, don't we? We're devoted to learn it. We devote ourselves to learning God's truth and God's word. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. Let's look at the end of 2 Peter. And what I want you to, you know, what I'm bringing out here in the narrative is when they say that they were that they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It was to the teaching of truth, but it was also the way the words are represented here, what God is saying in that, they were committed to learning the truth. 2 Peter, the end of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 17. Look at what it says here as Peter writes. He says this, chapter 3, 2 Peter, verse 17 and following. Well, we'll bounce up forward. He said, You therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand, so what we know beforehand was what he said before, that Paul had written some letters to them. Let me just read it, verse 15 and following. He said this, Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, and also in all his letters, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they also do the rest of scriptures to their own destruction. And then it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand. We know beforehand that out there in the world, unstable and untaught people, they distort the word of God. We know that beforehand. So we're to be on guard, as it says, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall away from their own steadfastness. We want to learn truth. We desire truth. We still want to learn something. We seek to learn the truth so we're not carried away by error, fall away. That's what it's saying. Why? Verse 18, so we grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the same thing that Peter said in 1 Peter 2, 2. See, so in the text, in the narrative, what he's talking about, he's saying, okay, so they were devoted themselves, they gave themselves to teaching the truth, and then they gave themselves to learning what is truth, learning the truth. That's what they had in common life. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they were committed to do. That's what it's talking about. That's what's being illustrated here in the words. The words in the narrative represent, Acts 22, represent that. They were giving themselves to the teaching God's word, and they were learning God's word continually, common life of the ordinary church. But there's one other thing, and we talked about it in Sunday school today. But it's a very important thing in it. They were continually devoting themselves to living the truth found in God's word. Now, let me tell you something. That's what these words in Acts 2 represent and how it's written in the narrative. It's common life for us to be committed to the truth, and that's at work in our life, okay? Right? That's at work in each one of our relationship with God and the work in life, but it's our common life to be committed to teaching what is true. You want to teach your kids, you want to teach in the church, you want to teach other people, you want to share the truth of the gospel, those kind of things, common life. It's common life that we learn. That we learn what God has said is true. It's common life. We're engaging our mind. We're to be like a sponge, willing to take in the water of life, what God is teaching, what He's saying, that kind of thing. We know that I'm committed to learning. I want to learn what God has to say. But then we're committed to doing. That's what's represented in the text. That was the common life. It's our common life. It's incredible that it's our common life. I'm glad it's our common life. How about you? Oh, almost fell down. Now I'll get in trouble for that one, but that's okay. But aren't you glad that's our common life? Aren't you glad that that's what it is, what God says it is, what He's working on? Because that's where life, that's where blessing, that's where hope, that's where love, that's where what God is doing in your life and my life are happening. We want to be devoted to what God says is the thing that moves and shapes our life, that changes us, that grows our faith with Him, that saves in the world, right? That's what we want to be committed to. But it makes sense, right? They were continually devoting themselves to teaching the truth, to learning the truth, to living the truth. You can teach the truth of God's word, give ourselves to that. We can learn the truth of God's word and give ourselves to that. But if we don't live it, do we really give ourselves to the teaching? What do you guys think? It's a battle, though, isn't it? Let me give you a good illustration of this. My grandson, for the first time, he swam this summer with the Hurricanes. Props for the Hurricanes. Way to go. Woo-hoo. Great team, right? It had fun. But I was overwhelmed with practices, and I went to some of them, and there were a lot of teachers, a lot of coaches. They were teaching all kinds of things. The breaststroke, and I won't even go through it all. They look hilarious if I tried to do all the strokes up here. But they're teaching. teaching them how to do the strokes, teaching them when to breathe, how to breathe, teaching them how to use their legs, teaching them when to dive in, you know, how to dive in and all those kind of things. Teaching, 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 learning, 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 learning going on. The kids trying and all the things going on. And that was what's going on. They're doing this, doing that. And the dive was incredible. Here you got them, and the teachers got them on their under diving board. I'm going to go from here because I might hurt myself that high. But they're going to dive, right? And all of you guys have probably seen this, but, you know, they're teaching them how to dive, and they do all of the things with over their head and all of that kind of stuff. And then you see them learning, they're practicing, and they're trying, and they're all trying to dive and all of that. And then the race comes, race day, the day it matters, the day what all this is for, the moment, the things that God has for us in our life, what it's all for, it comes. Some of them die beautifully. It's like, wow. And then they seem to even get better at it. As I went along, it's like, wow, they got a little farther. Some of them, they've learned to dive, and they're trying. It's not beautiful. It's, you know, but they were there committed to the teaching. They were learning the teaching, and they said, I'm going to live it. And so they were, isn't that Christianity? If you wait to dive until you get the perfect dive, you'll never dive. That's what Paul is talking about. Not Paul, Luke is writing here. What God is bringing is because on race day, some of them did this and then started swimming. You tell me, did they learn or were they taught? Yes or no? No. Because until you do what God says, you didn't learn it. You weren't taught it. You can think you were, you can say you were, but until you do God's word, you're not a follower of God's word. So you're not a learner of God's word. You're not a disciple of Christ as a learner and follower of Christ. He didn't say dive perfectly and wait till you do, dive. He said, follow me. That's what he said, and that's what it is. This is what's in the narrative is so incredible is that it was the common life. They didn't care how ugly the dive was. They dove. Because it was the life, the common life that we have is to the teaching of God's truth, the learning of God's truth, and then the living of God's truth. And if anybody in the room thinks you live God's truth beautifully in every area, we need to talk about pride. But if you're living God's truth, it's beautiful, as ugly as it can be. Repentance is maybe the most wonderful thing in my life. And repentance is like, oh, forgive me for, can you forgive me for offending you and for doing that? I don't want to do that. I want God to change my life. On the outside, it's ugly, most beautiful thing in your life. This is what we want to grasp in the messages here. What we want to understand and what the common life was here. I don't want to present this and teach and then the common life looks like a perfect picture or painting. The common life of the believers in Christ is a work that God is doing in our life. Listen, God couldn't have written these things this way in the text if their common life was not continually devoting themselves to teaching, to learning, and living. If one was missing here, he couldn't have wrote it this way. And so that's what we see. It wasn't perfect, but it was in the process. That's what he's talking about. Listen, you know some of the common truths of God's word that we all know about living God's word, right? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a continual action for us. How do you renew? You teach the truth, you learn the truth, you live the truth. It's not renewed unless you live it. And we know that. And if we don't live it, what happens? We're conformed by the world, right? It's like James. Let me just read James to you. I don't want you to turn there. I won't get bogged down. But it's like what we know in James 1:21 through 25. Here's what God's word says on this. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted. Receive that life, that new life, that life in Christ, salvation's life by the word of God that's implanted in you. Receive that, which is able to save your soul, rescue you from in this life. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers that delude themselves. He's talking to Christians. Christians don't do, they hear, but they don't do, and they delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at the natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself, has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. I can't forget because I look at God's word, and it tells me I'm saved, reconciled, redeemed, loved person of God. But apart from that, of me following the Lord, I sin. And then listen to what it says. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, he lives it. The law of liberty, God's word, I've been set free to live the way God wants me to live. By the salvation of the Lord. The law of liberty, that's what it is. Freedom to live for God and not live for myself. That's the truth of God's word. Listen to what it says. But abides by it, not being, having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You see, we've been taught these truths. You learned them. We taught them, but you know what? We learned them by living them, didn't we? I certainly have. I learned them by living them. When I renewed my mind and I continually deal with the truth of it and live it, the world doesn't shape me. But I know the absolute truth, the other side of that truth, the opposite truth, is that if I'm not in God's word, if I'm not learning and I'm not applying what God's word is, I'm a weak end and the world starts conforming me to its image. That's my testimony. I think I'm a pretty common guy. I think that's really what's the commonness of our lives too, is that if we're not renewing our thoughts each and every day, if we're not letting God teach us through his word and we're learning and applying in our life, I think the world shapes us quickly, and you know it does. And if you're a doer of God's word, you understand what it is to be blessed as you follow the word of God. If you're not a doer, you don't understand, really. That's just the truth. The truth of the matter is, if you learn to dive in at the start of the race and you do it, you swim faster. I watched it over and over and over. I've watched it over and over in my life. If I learn to listen to God's word, want the truth of God's word, to long for it, grow in the respect of salvation, if I just will apply it to my life and do it, whatever it is that God is working on in my life, if I'm going to dive, it isn't pretty all the time, but it's beautiful. I know that's your testimony too, because God is teaching us here in through August. This is our common life. This is the common life of us. I know we all want to be a beautiful diver. I did a triple flip and the feet went out and you guys saw that. Man, it's a belly flop half the time for me. How about you guys? But I'm diving in. I'm going to live the word of God. And so as we move through this, just go ahead and have the praise team come up because we're going to do a closing song to close this. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing a song. So after I pray, we're going to stand together. But this is the ordinary church. This is the common church. This is us. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he said it simply, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Disciples of Christ are learners and followers of Christ. And he said, if you continue to learn my truth and follow it, you're my disciples. That's how common it is. And it says this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I don't think there's any better words to encourage us to just embrace the common life that God has given us. Let's pray, and then we'll close the service in the closing song. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just speaking to our hearts and minds, for encouraging us through your word. And I know, Lord, the Spirit is at work in each one of our lives, speaking to our hearts, your truth, your word, bringing it to application to us, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for us to have a willing heart, to have a contrite heart, a willing heart, a humble heart. Because my faith and our faith, Lord, is in that if we'll just approach you in that, you will work these things in our life. You'll grow us to be more like Christ. You'll change us. You'll bring reconciliation. You'll help us in each area of our lives. Our part, come with humility. We do that today, Lord. We thank you that we can. We thank you for your word. We're going to stand and praise you as we conclude our service today. In your Son's name we pray, amen. Let's stand together.